The Unitarian Universalist ministers have a Facebook group where we talk about various matters in church. And every so often, the topic of clapping comes up, whether it's okay to clap in church or not. Some ministers feel that clapping disrupts the worshipfulness of the occasion, while others understand that people are used to clapping as a way of expressing appreciation. I'm fine with however people want to express themselves, though I have to admit sometimes clapping startles me because I'm not expecting to hear it in church. But the real reason that ministers are conflicted about clapping is because they're concerned that people may see Sunday worship as an entertainment event, as an experience to be consumed, something like going to the movies or to the theater. There's this fear that if people bring a consumer mentality to the services and expect to be entertained, ministers will have to change the nature of worship so that production values take precedent over message. You can see this now in our megachurches, where the services are very glitzy productions with lots of fancy props and special effects. This concern over production value versus message is on my mind today as we launch the stewardship campaign. We talked about this in our stewardship committee, some ideas about how we could create a better experience for people and the challenge of this consumer culture issue. When individuals make a financial commitment to the church to contribute an annual amount for support, we call it a pledge. And these pledges represent about 75% of the annual church budget. Pays for the building, the staff, the programs, pretty much everything that you see, hear, and engage with throughout the week. This year in particular, we're going to have some folks reach out to individuals to talk about what the church means to them, to talk about what kind of pledge they're planning to make for the year. In doing the training for the people that will be making the visits, it was clear that there's a little uncomfortableness about that, that some people have a difficult time talking about pledging or talking about the money that it takes to fund the church. It can feel awkward for both the person who's doing the asking and for the person who's making the pledge. But we do know that churches don't fund themselves, and there's no mothership that rains money down on us in support of our programs. So I've been thinking about some new funding models. I'm kind of getting a reputation for being creative, so I'm putting my creative energy to thinking about ways to fund the church that might be more consistent with this consumer culture that we seem to be kind of heading towards. So I have a few ideas that I want to run by you. Okay? So here's my first idea. I propose to simplify things and do away with pledging and charge an entrance fee on Sundays. Really, right? We can calculate how much it costs the church to function, divide by 52 for the weekly costs, count how many people attend on an average Sunday, divide the total cost by that number, and voila! You've got the cost per person for Sunday. Simple, right? Now, I recommend that we sell tickets online and in advance to make it easier, you know, on Sunday when everybody's coming in. And we can sell tickets at the door. We've got a new credit card reader that should really facilitate that process. How simple is that, huh? No fundraising campaigns, no asking people to make pledges. Wouldn't this simplify our process? Now, if you're new to us today, please don't worry. We haven't implemented this yet, so no one's going to hit you up. And I'll tell you what, I bet I could get you a deal, a cut rate, if you attend a certain number of services a month. So what do you think? No? We're not a go? I thought this was, oh, I see some thumbs down. Oh, one thumbs up. Or, nope, thumbs down over there. Huh, I sense that some of you may have concerns about this approach. Perhaps I need to reconsider. And I have another idea. You're right. It is kind of crass to charge people at the door. I agree. And I kind of thought you would think that. So here's... And one of the problems with charging at the door, right, is what if they don't feel like they get their money's worth? We may have to issue them a refund, right? That's going to be really complicated. Some of the problems with this fee at the door, of course, are that charging the same amount to everybody assumes that everybody has the similar ability to pay. And we know that that is not true. So I'll take your thumbs down and let me go with proposal number two. How about a menu plan? So we give people a menu of all the possible programs in which they could engage. Sunday worship, religious education for children, adult enrichment program, social justice, etc. You know all the list. And there'll be an estimated cost for each of the options, a monthly cost. And each person or family could check off which activities they wanted to do, and they would pay a monthly subscription rate that will allow them to participate in these activities. We could even use a punch card system to help keep track of what services that they have used out of their subscriptions. Now, this menu approach is a little more complicated than the ticket idea, but you know you would only be paying for the very specific church activities that you choose to attend or could afford to attend. You would buy what you could afford. And it gives the consumer of religious services a better idea of what they were paying for. No? Yes? So I expect that many of you, even those who weren't putting their thumbs down vigorously, are feeling a bit uncomfortable with these approaches. These ideas are consistent with how we purchase products and services. Why are we uncomfortable applying them to church? We are uncomfortable because a religious community is not a theater and Sunday worship is not an entertainment opportunity. What makes us uncomfortable is this idea of commodifying our relationship to church, turning our church into a list of things to be purchased and consumed, like buying a magazine subscription or picking out your dinner at a restaurant. We are uncomfortable with charging a fee because we know that our engagement and commitment to this community does not begin and end with any one particular program or experience. We fundamentally understand that church is not a commodity, that it is not something to be bought, not something to be consumed. As consumers, our relationship with the things that we buy is normally a one-way relationship. We buy things that serve us, food that feeds us, clothing that clothes us, entertainment. That's the purpose of why we do it, a one-way relationship. It's all about our individual wants and needs. We may feel good about a restaurant or a store that we patronize, but we don't feel like we're owners of that store. But in church, we serve others as much as we serve ourselves. We are in community, a network of mutuality. We contribute our time and talents and support to the success of this enterprise. You are sitting here today listening to this service, but tomorrow you might be serving on a committee or planning an event or cooking food for a lunch. You might be serving for loaves and fishes with your fellow comrades from UUSS. We serve this community, and we are served by it. You can't commodify community. You can't commodify it because you gain as much or greater than what you give. In serving each other, we are transformed. Most Sundays, we say our mission statement, to deepen our lives and be a force for healing in the world, which to me is your pretty basic transformation, the work of the church. Transformation is not easy. It requires personal growth, connection, struggle, depth, joy. It requires promoting freedom and justice and healing human lives. It requires community. As Unitarian Universalists, we are in the business of transformation. This is the hallmark of who we are. And through our church, we transform ourselves, our communities, and our world. You can't put a price tag on transformation. It's the gift we give each other and the gift we give ourselves. It's what we do in religious community. But you can make a financial commitment to your church, one that recognizes the importance of this community in your life and expresses how much you value our shared mission. You can make an annual or monthly pledge of funds to support the budget of this church, to support our work of transformation. So as you write those numbers down on your form, you might think about some of the things that your pledge represents. Your pledge represents a commitment to your fellow congregants, your commitment to do your part to ensure that our church remains strong so that we can come together on Sunday mornings to sing, explore, learn, share our joys and our sorrows, share our lives, share our dreams, challenge each other, love each other, feed each other's bodies and spirits. Your pledge represents a commitment to the people who haven't found us yet. I've heard from many of you this yearning to help this church be a refuge for people that are seeking a liberal spiritual community. I have heard you speak of wanting newcomers to find the same loving, supporting, and encouraging community that you found when you walked through these doors. Who knows who comes through our doors on Sundays and what they need? Healing, support, encouragement, inspiration. It's a messy and chaotic world out there. I am grateful for this small space of peace and connection that we create, this small place in our chaotic world where we can be truly who we are and feel a part of something greater than ourselves. Together, we create these small miracles of transformation in people's lives for ourselves, those of us here and now, and for people who haven't shown up yet. And these transformations ripple out in ways that we can never know, ways that create the world that we dream about. Your pledge represents a commitment to the future. We have these dreams of reaching out beyond our walls, beyond these beautiful walls, to the communities in need in our region. Dreams of making a difference in our world. We're working on plans for a social justice theme this year so that with our efforts we can truly be a force for healing in the world. Will it be earth justice, economic justice, foster children, homelessness? We have a great track record for financial support for organizations that share our missions, but many feel that we need to engage more directly. Your pledge represents a commitment to this work of outreach and community transformation. And your pledge is a commitment to liberal religion. As you use, we stand against superstition and fear. You only have to listen to the Republican candidates to know what many people believe about this world. We claim the right to religious expression that doesn't require a creed or a belief in a supernatural being. We welcome all with their questions and visions. Our principles help us to aspire to what is most noble about human beings. That alone is worth your support. That alone in this chaotic, crazy world is worth your support. I remember when I first became a Unitarian Universalist about 25 years ago, I had no idea what it meant to pledge. At the time I joined the church, I remember sitting out on the patio out there with somebody from the pledge committee asking me to make an annual contribution to the budget. I had so many questions that I was uncomfortable asking. What did it mean to pledge? What was the right amount to give? What was my obligation to this community? 8 years later, I was the chair of the stewardship committee. And it wasn't until I was the one who had to ask people to pledge that I gained an appreciation for what a pledge represents. Pledging means understanding that we are the funders of our church and accepting responsibility in making the church better and stronger. We are the stewards and the co-owners of this community. It's putting our money where our heart is, where our spirit is. It's an investment in the values that we hold dear and the community that supports and upholds these values. For many of us, the process of being asked for a pledge makes us a bit uncomfortable. It's kind of like we're asking, "What is the church worth to you?" That is exactly what we're asking. It is what you should be asking yourself. How much of your money are you willing to give to support this community? We don't have to lay it out like a menu to buy things. We don't have to punch your ticket when we come in the door, because you know in your heart the value that this community is to your life and the life of the greater Sacramento area. Pledging makes us a bit uncomfortable because it should. We need to stretch beyond this idea of a minimum pledge, the least we could do. We need to stretch to a value that represents how you feel about this community, to your commitment to sustaining it. And you can stretch no matter what your income. I have given money over the years as an expression of my gratitude for the church, for the community that is present for me, and for the services of the ministers in the churches where I was a member. Now, as a minister myself, I understand that my pledge is an acknowledgement of my responsibility and commitment to sustain the financial health of the congregation, and it is for the benefit of all who come and who are yet to come. I have been enriched by the contributions I have made to UU churches more than any other investment or purchase I ever could have made. I would not be the person I am today without the congregations that I have been a part of, including this one. I know that each of you care about this community. Many of you give significantly of your time, talents, and treasure. Others of you are new to the concept of pledging, new to thinking about what your financial commitment means in the context of your values. Others are here for the first time today and learn from Mary Howard's testimony why she cares so deeply about this community, the power of this community, and why her family pledges more than 10% of their income every year. Those newcomers learned about the depth of her commitment. So those of you who are members and friends of this community, I challenge you to consider a shift in your thinking from participant to owner, from participating in an experience to investing in transformation. Your pledge is a statement of how much our values mean to you. It is putting your money where your mouth is, where your heart is, where your spirit is. We are not the consumers of religious experiences. We are the investors. We are the shareholders. And the return on our investment is much greater than any way that we could invest our money, because the interest that we earn is the transformation of our lives and of our world. May it be so. Blessed be, and amen.